Gospel of Luke, chapter 10. After this, the Lord appointed 72. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others, sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he's about to go. And he told them that the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. He says, ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go, I'm sending you. I'm sending you out like lambs among wolves. Don't take a purse or a bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road. I'm going to skip right on down to verse 17. Talk about when they come back. The 72 returned with joy and said, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. And Jesus replied, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven, and I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, don't rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Can I get a witness on that part? At that time, Jesus, full of joy through the Holy Spirit, said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned and have revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this was your good pleasure. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows who the Son is except the Father, and no one knows who the Father is except the Son, and to those whom he chooses to reveal them. And he turned to his disciples and he said, blessed are the eyes that see what you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings wanted to see what you see but did not see it, and to hear what you hear but did not hear it. And Lord, we come before you this morning, Lord. And Lord, we have joy, Lord. We celebrate your goodness, Lord, that we have an opportunity, Lord, to participate in your harvest, Lord. That you would call us out of darkness, not just into light, Lord, but to serve you and to be workers with you in your harvest field, Lord. And Lord, as we work with you, Lord, that you provide for us, Lord, that you will empower us, that you equip us, Lord. Lord, you give us the ability to turn off phones. Lord, we bind every distraction. Lord, we come to your word and the enemy would come and bring confusion. But Lord, you're bigger than all that.
Yes.
We give you praise for that in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Do me a favor, check that phone if you got one. Hey, I want to tell you about Tom Dillard talking about a harvest. I lived with Tom Dillard the year when I was going to Bible college. I was an intern at Capital Christian Center, church of about 5,000 people. That's another story, but I'm not going to go into that story because we're gonna stay on track today. But I moved into Tom's house. And he had this massive plum tree. Now, this is not Tom's plum tree, but it is the biggest plum tree. His was probably that big, a massive stump. And I went into his backyard, and this thing is loaded with plums. I mean, I think of it right now, and I was even thinking about it this morning, sharing with you, and I'm just overwhelmed right now as the amount of plums that were on Tom's tree. And I'm like, Tom, what is up? He goes, oh, yeah, those plums. He goes, they'll fall off pretty soon and I'll throw them away. I'm like, Tom. He goes, oh, I don't care about those things. I'll tell you what, I was not having that. I mean, I come from a line of farmers. And we see fruit on the tree, man. And like, fruit on the tree is like money, right? I said, Tom, we got to pick this stuff, man. These things are ripe today. I mean, tomorrow they're going to be gone. They're going to be overripe. We have got to pick these. And the whole tree is just looking like that. Just massive and giant. He's like a 25-foot high tree. We're up there climbing in the branches. Tom, we need to get some buckets. And he's like, I don't care. I go, Tom, you got buckets, bud. You know, and I'm looking around his place, and I'm finding these buckets, you know, and I'm going, Tom, we got to have buckets. And we pick all the, he had stacks of 25-gallon buckets. He was so cheap, he wouldn't throw the buckets away. But he let the prime fruit fall on the ground. I'm like, Tom, There is a crop to be taken in. And we got all those buckets, and we filled up his whole pickup bed with plums. And it was Sunday. I went over to check his house, and we went to every church we could find, passing out plums. You want plums? You want plums? You want plums? And we went to every church we could find. We gave out all these plums. We still have more plums left. And so we went to Teen Challenge, and we said, hey, we got so many plums. You guys take these plums. We still had more. We went to the rescue mission. We got plums. We got plums. We got plums. There was a crop that Tom didn't care about, but it was important to me. Jesus is talking about a harvest field. His harvest field, oops, looks like that. And this is wheat. I'm sorry. This is wheat. And they're dropping down because there's so much seed on those plants. And Jesus says the fields are white with harvest. There is an opportunity to bring in the crop, and the timing on this is critical. He says there's not too many workers that are ready to go out there. And he says, God has a harvest field. And he grabs 72 guys. We don't even know their names. 72 of his followers. And he sends them out in groups of two to go get his harvest. And he empowers them and he equips them to stand on scorpions and to stand on snakes and to do all this kind of stuff. And he says, you guys, go out there right now because the timing is critical. And what we read about today and what he talks about today and the joy of Jesus Christ and the desire of the prophets and the desire of the kings to see what was happening in the kingdom of God. And in the kingdom of God, there was a great leap ahead in the program of God. Because if you come from farmers, you plant the seed and then there's not a whole lot you got to do. Okay, I mean, you got to put water, you got to keep the weeds off. But what you're basically doing is watching your crop ripen. And then when the crop is ready, you got an incredible amount of work to do. And then after crop is in, you rest like the whole winter. But there's that critical time when the fruit is ripe that you have got to be working from daylight, from dusk to darkness. Dusk is waiting, from dawn to dusk. Jesus says, prophets long to see what you see. You know, I look around this community, and there's a crop that's ready. Amen? Amen. Workers are few. I don't know how many of you are out there working. Some of you are. Some of you just got too much stuff going on, can't be bothered. I got other stuff. I got my action to maintain. Lord says, that's okay. I'm looking for people who will work with me. I'll empower people that will work with me. He says, there's a kingdom out there that's full of opportunities. If you join me, I'll join you. Amen? Amen. All right, here we go. How many of you guys know the Lord Jesus Christ, your Savior today? I'm going to talk about believers today, okay? I'm going to talk about believers and believers' responsibility and what happens in believers' lives. Talk about believers that work for the Lord. And believers are supposed to have a kingdom message. He says, when you enter a house, first say peace to this house. He's saying, you're going to go out and you're going to be received. Let peace flow from you. He says, the kingdom is more than you think. Let your peace go. And so I grew up in the Episcopalian church. And there used to be a part of the service that where they would call it the peace. And you would go along, and it's kind of like when we do greeting, and we'd say, peace be with you. Do they do that in the Catholic Church?
Catholic Church.
Catholic Church, as I see, like Episcopalian is like kind of like Catholic light, kind of like Catholic Church with no Pope, right? But so you guys all know what I'm talking about. And there's, peace of the Lord, peace of the Lord, peace be with you, and with you, right? And do all that kind of stuff. And you know what? I think, you know, it comes from this, but I think we kind of get ripped off. Why? Because there's more to that peace than what we think. Now, the word that they use is shalom. How many of you guys heard the word shalom? All right, that's the Hebrew word that they would use in the time. The word that Luke uses is a Greek word for that, irene, okay? But it comes from shalom, and shalom means so much. There's so much depth to that word peace. It includes completeness. Completeness to you. Peace to you. It includes wholeness. Wholeness and completeness and health. See, if you come along and you just go into some church, peace be with you, peace be with you, and with you, peace be with you. You know, you don't get wholeness. You don't get health. You don't get welfare. You don't get safety. You don't get soundness and wholeness and health and depth. You see how there's more to the message than maybe what you were thinking about? Because it includes tranquility. It includes prosperity. It includes fullness. It includes rest, harmony, all these things. My question for you today is, are you having this? See, it is the Lord's intent that you would have these things and that you would grow in completeness, wholeness, health, peace, welfare, safety, soundness, tranquility, prosperity. I can't even say it all. Fullness, perfectness, rest, and harmony. If you don't have all that stuff, you're not going to have much of a message for the Lord. Can I get a witness on that? If you got all that stuff, people will be knocking down your door saying, where do you get this stuff? I get it from the Lord Jesus Christ. I get it from the Lord Almighty because He empowers me. Because I am working with Him. I got a speaker in that back room. Thank you. Jesus says, I will equip you if you want to work with me. He says, there is came to some stuff that's going on. All this stuff. The peace of the Lord that comes out of you. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives. Fullness of life. If you're not getting this, maybe you're not working for the Lord. Maybe your focus is not on Him. Maybe you have not surrendered all the things of the world and you're still trying to hold both. Amen? He says, you put a focus on me, I'll put a focus on you. You line up on me, I'll line up on you. You want to work for me, I will hook you up. You're working for the kingdom. You have kingdom resources at your fingertips. Amen? All right. Point B. Three things happen when you reject the kingdom. When you enter a town and are not welcomed, how many of you have ever heard, I don't care about the Lord. I'm not interested in the Lord. Amen. There's some people that aren't. Three things happen when you're not interested. He says, when you go into the streets of those people and say, even the dust of your towns that sticks to our feet, we wipe off against you. Woo! Is that stiff? Shake the dust off my feet. Move out of your house. Some of you folks in relationships, you got to shake the dust off your feet. He says, be sure of this, the kingdom of God is near. And I tell you, it will be more bearable on that day for Sodom than for that town that rejects the message of the Lord. Three things happening. Number one, you reject the message of the kingdom. You reject the Lord Jesus Christ. He lets you go. You know, we get this wrong idea. You know, people say no to the Lord. Oh, now it's time to just stick in and pray. We're not going to give up. And Jesus says, hey, somebody don't want to hear it? Move on and find somebody that does. Can I get a witness on that? Jesus says, don't spend the time beating down the closed door. Look for open doors. The fields are ripe for harvest. What are you doing wasting your time on unripe fruit? Go find the stuff. Think about your life. When you finally came to the Lord, who brought a message, who brought a word. It didn't matter who brought a word. You were ready. You were like that plum that's sitting on that tree. The next little breath of wind is going to knock that thing off. That's where you were. It didn't matter where you were. God was doing a work. See, if we would look for the people that God has already got prepared, we'd start seeing a harvest that would be coming in. We wouldn't have so many empty chairs in this place. Jesus says, fields are white with harvest. Got to send workers out. First thing I notice, people reject the message, Jesus lets them go. Second thing I notice, we need to let them know that they are making a choice. He says, wipe the dirt off your feet as a testimony against them. Now, I'm telling you what, folks. That is an offensive gesture. It's like, well, we just need to be nice and polite. You know what? I don't think it was any less offensive back in the day. You know, they would when they had to walk through Samaria, Jews would wipe their feet off because they didn't want to take any Samarian dirt into Jerusalem. Disgusting Samaritan dirt. And that's what Jesus is likening this to. Why is it so stiff? Why is it such an issue? Jesus tells us. He says, he who listens to you, and this works for us in this room today. He who listens to you, he's listening to me. You speak, when you speak the words of the Lord, you speak for him. And he says, when they listen to you, they listen to me. And he who rejects you rejects me. But he who rejects me rejects him who sent me. And I tell you what, there are some folks that are saying no to the Lord Jesus Christ, and we need to let them know that they're saying no. They need to realize the choices that they're making. When they say no to the kingdom, it is an eternal choice that they're making. Third thing I notice from the scripture up here, verse 1, Jesus lets the bad ones go. Jesus says, let them know that they're making a poor choice. And number 3, there's a judgment day that's coming. Jesus says, it's going to be more bearable for Sodom than for that town on that day, on judgment day. Well, you think about Sodom and Gomorrah, and Sodom was a picture of depravity in the Old Testament. A city, Sodom and Gomorrah, cities lost in sin. And also cities that were judged by sulfur raining down from the sky and killing everybody in those towns. And so every Jew, everybody that was hearing this message would have understood, wow, there is a greater judgment than the judgment that came on Sodom that is awaiting those people who reject the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why you got to let them know what they're choosing. See, there are kingdom rewards for good choices, and there is kingdom penalties for poor choices. Are you getting this? Let me tell you. Maybe you've seen this this drum here. I got this drum yesterday. I'm trying to teach my children the value of a dollar. You got, is that good? Is that good, Matt?
Yeah.
All right. So, you know, and my mom sent me out to work for my uncle when I was 7. Go all the way to Nevada, and I worked for him until I was 13. I started working for my dad every summer until I was like 18, 19 years old. I mean, I knew how to work. There ain't no jobs for kids around here. Amen? I mean, babysitting. And so, but I'm looking on Craigslist, and I got a deal for Joe. Got Joe some congas. And he had to sand them down and glue them up and refinish them. And he did all that, fixed them up, made them look beautiful. And we sold them, and he made $100. Wow. Now, Joe's like, what is it, 13? He was 13. He's 14 now. He was 13 then. He comes up to me all the time. Dad, got any more deals for me? Dad, you know? And so I come home with this yesterday, right? He goes, Dad, is this for me? Because it's all busted up. You see that skin's off of it. And I said, you know, Joe, I think this is a hookup for Leanne. And he goes, Dad, she doesn't want to have anything to do with that drum. He goes, she don't care about this. She don't want this. He goes, I tell you what, let's just put it right here in the walkway. And if she comes home and doesn't say anything about it, she don't want it. And I could have it. And I'm like, and Lisa's going, ooh, that's good. Kind of like a fleece, you know, kind of put it out there. And so anyway, it's out there. It's sitting there, and she hasn't noticed it. And I come in, and of course, she knows about Joe's conga deal. And so I walk in, and Joe's celebrating the fact that she hasn't said anything. And I said, Leanne. She's laying on the couch. I go, Leanne, you want to help me on a conga project? And it's silence. And her mind is cranking. And I mean, 20 seconds goes by. And she goes, Do I get paid? And I said no, because she doesn't get paid. She gets to be an owner. She gets to participate in the deal. And Joe cannot contain himself. He goes, yeah, you're going to make $40, man. He goes, because the drum costs $20 and the head, new head costs $20, and it's going to be worth $80 or $90. And Leanne says, yeah, I'll help you, Dad. Could you bring that message about helping your father in heaven? Could you bring that message about the rewards that are waiting? See, there was 20 seconds. And Leanne was ready to go, nah, I don't want to deal in the drum. But something in the back of her head going, wait. Reward. Reward is waiting for me. Yeah, Dad. I'll work with you on that. See, when Jesus says, send workers out into the harvest field, he's looking for people that'll work with him as a partner. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. All right. Point number two. I thought you might like that little drum thing. Believers have kingdom benefits. Believers have kingdom benefits. The 72 returned with joy. I got to think they were doing backflips. They said, Lord, even the demons. Can you imagine casting a demon out of somebody and coming back to tell Jesus about it? We did what you did, Jesus. Even the demons submit to us in your name. And he replied, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. We got the victory. We aren't dealing with those who reject the plan of the Father. Amen? He says, I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. Now, does that not sound like a fabulous deal? See, believers walk in kingdom authority. Believers walk in kingdom authority. The disciples return in victory. They were sent out to heal the sick, and sometimes you're going to run into some spiritual sickness. And they said, the demons are running away from you. God is still sending out workers into his harvest field with a message, with power. And I'm telling you, folks, that he has guaranteed us victory, and victory feels good. Jen got her Chargers thing on over today. I think the Chiefs quarterback is sick. And I think Jen's going, hey, we're going to have a good day today. Chargers going to win. Celebrate the victory, right? Well, they came back and they had watched the victory. They had participated in the victory. They had received power. They had received authority. And they had overcome the enemy. And they said, we have got the victory today. Amen?
Amen.
See, those guys in the locker room, they feel different when you're on the field playing. And the Lord is looking for those that would come in and experience his power and see transformed lives. We had a board meeting last night, and we were talking about transformed lives in this building. And we were celebrating many of the transformations that are happening in your life. It is the most awesome thing to see. Can I get a, come on now. Some of you guys are saying, yeah, I got a transformed life. I'm happy I got it. Well, it's so cool when you bring that message to somebody else and you see that transformation happening. I remember I was a Christian maybe, I don't even know, 6 months, 7 months. And I'm all fired up and I talk to the pastor and I say, you know what, we got to have an outreach class. And he's kind of new. In fact, we just hooked up with him the other Monday night, and it was neat. He shared this story. It reminded me of it. And I remember me and Kathy Sirachi, we were teaching our outreach class, and we had about 500-600 people in the singles group. And we're having our outreach class, and six people will be showing up. But I tell you what, man. And she taught 1 week, and I taught the next week. And we started on Friday night. Maybe that's why. Singles group, everybody's busy on Friday. I don't know. But I would start fasting on Wednesday. And I fast on Wednesday. I fast on Thursday. I fast on Friday. And I would teach that class. And Lord, use me in such a mighty way. Six people. Didn't matter to the Lord how many were in there. Could have been 6,000. But to see people's lives impacted by the Word and to participate in the program of God for Him to use me, man, I would come out of that class on fire. And you know where I'd go? I'd go to the pizza parlor and I'd order a jalapeno pizza. Just jalapenos. So hot, I cannot imagine eating jalapeno pizza after fasting for 3 days now. But when I was 30 years old, whoo, give me the jalapeno pizza. Why? God, celebrating God. I had the joy of the Lord. Ha! Glory to God. We reserved the park for an outreach. We're going to have this outreach. It's going to be, just a church-wide outreach. 5,000 people in our church. We reserved this park. Just a blind day. And it was this park that was kind of in the hood. And we're going to go out there, and we got some bands lined up and do all this stuff. We didn't even know that it was the weekend of the jazz festival. And that park is at the entrance to the jazz festival. And 50,000 people walk right through that park to get into the jazz festival. See, when you line up on the Lord, and we just pick a random date, He just says, you know what? I'm going to give you the jazz festival. And you know, we're out there passing out tracts. We had so many people the weekend before, the weekend after, there would have been no one. God says, you line up on me, I'll line up on you. God says, you want to work for me, I'll hook you up. I'll give you authority, I'll give you power. I'll give you the ability to step on snakes and step on scorpions. It says, I don't care who you are. Sent out 32. Don't even know their names. They came back celebrating the goodness of God. Amen? Believers, keep kingdom priorities. He says, Jesus says, hey. Okay, I know what you guys are going through. Feels pretty good. Casting out demons, doing all this kind of stuff. He says, don't celebrate that fact. He says, you celebrate, you rejoice that the Spirit's Don't rejoice that the Spirit submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Because heaven is the prize. Amen? He says, I don't know what's going on around. I don't care what you get involved in. There's all kinds of supernatural kingdom kind of stuff that you are going to prepare to participate in, but do not forget about the prize. See, there are those who would trade wealth for heaven. Amen? The Bible says, what good is it for a man to gain the whole world and yet forfeit his very soul? There are those that would trade heaven for power. What kind of power? The kind of power he's talking about. They argued about who's going to be greatest in the kingdom of God. They showed their smallness. And Jesus says, don't get lost in the wealth. Don't get lost in the power. Keep your eyes on the kingdom. Keep your eyes on heaven. Jesus says, you've got to keep your priorities straight. With all this stuff, that we have to live our lives with an anticipation that there is more that is yet to come. Amen? Bible says that heaven is so good that we cannot even handle it the way we are. That you can't handle it. He says in a flash, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 52, 53, in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet is going to sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable. And we will be changed, for the perishable must close itself with the imperishable and the mortal with immortality. See, there's heaven, and heaven is so glorious that I don't know if we would step into heaven in these bodies and just be burnt up. But heaven is so good that you can't handle it the way you are. And it says heaven is coming. Live your life with an eye on heaven, with an anticipation of what is coming. You know who knows about heaven? Meso Bugs knows about heaven today. He passed on to be with the Lord about 5:30 on Monday morning, having breakfast with Jesus. Bible says, To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Now, has he got a resurrected body yet? No, because the resurrection has not happened yet. But he is in the presence of Almighty God waiting for that day. And you know what? Anthony, you miss your dad today, amen? Aaron misses dad. You know, you see little Danielle, Aaron running around. They miss their grandpa. I miss Mesa. Mesa was a great guy. I am blessed. I get to do the funeral on Tuesday. Just honor him. But I tell you what. If somehow Anthony could head up to heaven, to where Mesa is, and say, Dad, I got a ticket for you. You see, Danielle's crying every night. And Aaron's crying every night. And we all want you to come back. We prayed so hard. Jesus gave us a ticket. Get you back down to earth. I think Mesa will say, I can't take that ticket, son. Because I done got an upgrade. I'll wait for you here. You just make sure that you get here. Amen? See, I tell you what. When you live your life with a focus on heaven, everything changes down here. Amen? Amen. All right. Point number three. God is good. Hallelujah. Let's get a witness on that. All right. So we got to keep our priorities straight, and we got to be working for the Lord. The believer's got a role in the kingdom. Believers, as we follow the Lord and are working for him, that we are spiritually enabled. The Bible says, all things have been committed to me by my Father, Jesus says. He says, no one knows who the Son is except the Father, and no one knows who the Father is except the Son and those to whom he chooses to reveal him. Do you know the Father today? If you know the Father today, it is only because his Son has chosen to reveal him to you. Bible says, he says, all things have been committed to me. And that is quite a load. Can I get a witness on that? When Jesus is carrying everything, that's a load. Jesus has all the power. Jesus has all the authority, and Jesus has all the responsibility to handle everything. And you know what he's doing? He's passing it out because he's looking for people who will join him in the harvest field. He empowers these 72, gives them spiritual power, spiritual aid. No-name people. He says, I celebrate the fact that you turn the world over with these little ones. That you don't use the rich, that you don't use the famous. And you're sitting here today, and you're not rich, and you're not famous, but you're saying, Lord, you can use me in your kingdom. Guess what? He knows your name, amen? And he will equip you, and you can participate with him in the harvest of souls. And you can celebrate how good God is. Amen?
Amen.
When you work for the Lord, he'll hook you up. He said, don't take any bag, don't take any provision. I got all you need. My question for you is, are you participating in that today? Are your eyes on heaven or your eyes on your bag? Are your eyes on your provision? Jesus celebrated the goodness of God, the anonymity of those who work for him. And he'll empower you today. What's your need today? What's your problem today? There's a cough right there. Lord, just pray right now. I cough. Lord, I just pray right now, Lord, that wheelchair, Lord, just heal Balthazar, Lord. Sharon fell in her home yesterday. She's injured. Lord, we pray for Sharon, for Jean. Fell in the parking lot, busted her shoulder. Take it easy around Jean. Pray your healing touch on Jean today, Lord. Says, you'll do greater things than I ever did. Follow me. I'll hook you up. Amen? All right. Believers are spiritually equipped. He turned to his disciples and said privately, just to his disciples, blessed are the eyes that see what you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings wanted to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. See, we got glimpses of the kingdom. In the Old Testament, Moses led his people out of slavery, God's people, right? 10 plagues. separated the Red Sea, all the miraculous stuff and the victories that happened. We see glimpses of the kingdom of God, the power of God released through people. Joshua led the children of Israel into the promised land, and God's the enemies of God's people were delivered over and over and over again. And what we see is a window into the kingdom of God. Amen? We see Elisha and we see Elijah. They raise people from the dead. We see miraculous signs and wonders. And what Jesus says, he says, that's just a shadow. That is just a shadow of what is available to you with kingdom power. Amen? Jesus said, he said, if I drive out demons by the finger of God, then the kingdom of God has come to you. And you know what? Jesus drove out a lot of demons. Amen? And he's saying, hey, look, the kingdom of God is coming on. These guys had dominion over the demonic realm as they went out. And as they cast out those demons, they stepped onto the very edge of the kingdom of God. He says that the kings and the prophets desire to see what you see right now. There is a transformation in world history that is occurring in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ and in these 72 people that we don't even know their name. And they step onto the kingdom of God. And he says, don't stop thinking about heaven. Don't lose sight with all the power and all the provision. You step onto the edge of the kingdom of God. In the kingdom, there is spiritual gifts. We can lose sight on those gifts. In the kingdom, they're spiritual fruit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. Keep your eyes on heaven. And in the kingdom, there is the presence of the Spirit of God. If you're here today and you can even fathom what I'm talking about, it is because the Holy Spirit right now is touching your heart and transforming your life situations, opening your mind to see what Jesus was talking about. Some of you today are sitting here and saying, I just don't get it. I just can't understand. Jesus is talking about a harvest that is ripe, a crop that is ready. Here's the situation. God doesn't pick. There's a harvest that's ready, and God doesn't pick. Let's go back to that verse. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Tom Dillard, my friend, he didn't care. I don't care about these stinking plums. Let them fall on the ground. Let them rot. But our Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible tells us, 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promises. Some understand slowness. He's patient with you. Not wanting anyone to perish. See, the crop to our Lord is incredibly valuable. And he is standing. Is there anyone who would join me today? I'll give you a bucket. You don't have to go searching for one. I've got enough buckets for everyone. Who will join me today? I'll give you power to stamp on snakes. I'll give you power against the evil one. If you will line up on me, if you will join up with me in working in my harvest field, I will empower you and transform your life. Is the Lord speaking to your heart today? Are you thinking, Lord, buckets. The harvest. Here I am, Lord. I'll put my eyes on heaven. I'll put my focus on your work. And now I ask you to be about my work. Lord, we come to you this morning. Lisa, can you sing? Lord, we come to you this morning. And I think we need backup singer, Lord. Lord, we need a lot of backups around here. Lord, we need teachers, Lord. We need folks that will work in your harvest field. The crop is falling off. Lord, we see seeds, Lord, dropping to the ground and rotting, Lord. Lord, I see your people, Lord, idle. Not accomplishing anything, not celebrating victory after victory after victory, Lord, just kind of being stagnant. And Lord, it is because we do not keep our eyes upon heaven, Lord, and we do not keep our business about your harvest, Lord. Lord, I pray that you would speak to people this morning, Lord, and perhaps you're here this morning, you're saying, ah, that's it. That's the key. That's what I've been missing on. Lord, I've been fuzzy on the edge for a while. Lord, now there's clarity in my mind, and Lord, I want to serve you. Lord, I want to trust you. Lord, I want you to experience joy as I share your message. Lord, I want that peace, that shalom peace in my life. Lord, I want that tranquility, that fullness, all those things, Lord. I'm going to find it by keeping my eyes on you. I'm going to find it by keeping my eyes on heaven. I'm going to find it by heading out into your field, Lord. I want to work with you, God. I want to be with you, Dad. Nobody's looking around right now. And I'm not talking about getting saved. You rejected the word of the Lord before, and you have not surrendered your life to him. I'm not talking to you right now. I'm going to give you an opportunity. In just a minute. But you know the Lord. You've been following the Lord. And today, something clicked in place. And you're saying, I want to serve. I want to be a worker for the Lord. I want to surrender my plans, Lord. I want to follow your guidance and your direction in my life. I want to work for you, Lord. And I'll put my trust in you for all my provision, for all my care. And no one's looking around. You're saying, Pastor, I want to be trained for that. Lord, Pastor, I want to step out in that. Use me and train me and equip me. I don't know where it's going to lead. Lord, let us know where it's going to lead. But this is, I remember Lord called me and I went forward. And I said, Lord, I'll follow you my whole life, but just don't send me some boring white church. And this ain't no white, boring church, folks. I don't know if you looked around lately. It's the most exciting place on the planet to me. You're here this morning, and you're saying, man, if you call Pastor Bob, you just regular guy, call me, Lord. I'll answer. No one's looking around. The Lord is calling you to something bigger. I just want you to just raise your hand up. Here, 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 and there, back here and over here. Oh, and there.